This is Tristan Beeman of the Wine Exchange in Santa Ana. You're listening to A First Growth in Food News, the SoCal Restaurant Show. Cheers.
And welcome back. It is the Thanksgiving weekend version of the SoCal Restaurant Show, and we're here with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Angels baseball. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show. Thanks for being out there. We do appreciate it. Couldn't do it without you. Do keep up with us on social media. There's a lot of good information there that connects Saturdays and some good visuals, too. And we're enthusiastically presented to you each and every week by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. If you go into any executive chef's office and look at their library of books, odds are you will see a copy of Harold McGee's On Food and Cooking. Harold is an accomplished James Beard Award-winning writer, also a food scientist. And what he does is talk about these intriguing areas of food with the science angle, but approachable for all of us. And of course, smell is a very important part of the food experience. And for the last 10 years, Harold has been working on what has now been published as Nosedive, a field guide to the world's smells. And I definitely wanted to get Harold on the show to talk about this because he is a writer and a scientist that I have great respect for. And it's a pleasure to welcome Harold McGee to the SoCal Restaurant Show. Harold, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Andy.
Harold, you know, smell, so intriguing, so misunderstood. As a start, we, with food, Harold, we, first of all, we look at food and eat with our eyes. But then secondarily, smell becomes very important because it can be very appealing, tantalizing, or a total turnoff. Tell us a little bit more about that. And is a sense of smell something we can develop over a period of time, or are we sort of born with our ability to do that?
Well, you're absolutely right that we may see food to begin with, but at the same moment that we're seeing it, we're smelling it, at least if it's warm. If it's cold, not so much. So the fascinating thing about smell as a sense is that it's the connection between the world around us and the food that we take in to nourish ourselves. So we can get an idea of the qualities of a food by inhaling as we, you know, keep our face over the plate. But then once we put it in our mouth, we get a much closer encounter with it. Again, through the sense of smell, because the aromas, instead of coming into our nose from without, pass out of our nose as we exhale. So it's our way of getting food both coming and going. And we can certainly learn to smell better. It's really a matter of paying attention to the different components of flavor. The different aspects of food that we are able to perceive and get pleasure from, and then just paying more attention and appreciating, and it's really just a matter of concentration.
What are we actually smelling, Harold? It's molecules, but what is the structure of that?
Well, what we're smelling are little bits of the world around us or that we're taking into ourselves. You know, vision, for example, we're just seeing light waves essentially being reflected from things. It's a very indirect sense. With the sense of smell, we're actually detecting little bits of the things around us. So these are molecules that are small enough that they're able to escape whatever they're in. A glass of wine, for example, or a hamburger, little bits of those materials are flying through the air, and that allows them to be inhaled into our nose and interact with our smell receptors, which then reports to our brain what it is that we've just encountered.
Wow. Harold, initially, when you started your research on what became Nosedive 10 years ago, you kind of had a different approach and it was going to be a different book. How did that evolve into becoming Nosedive, A Field Guide to the World Smells?
Well, you're right. It started out as a book about flavor because my usual thing is to write about food and drink. But as I began to write about flavor and to look into what scientists have learned about that aspect of food over the last decade or two, it became clear that smell was really the most important aspect of it. With the sense of taste, we can detect maybe a dozen or so different qualities, maybe somewhat fewer than that, sweet, sour, salty, bitter, and so on. But in the case of smell, we're able to detect many, many different kinds of things. And so that's the sense that really gives food the variety and the interest that it has for us. And as I began to look more and more at what we had learned about how smell works and about the molecules that stimulate it, it seemed to me that that deserved a book all to itself. And so that's why I focused on smell and not just the smells of food and drink, but the smells of the rest of the world, which food and drink often begin to echo.
Absolutely. Now, your exploration started really in Great Britain with your first taste of grouse. You begin the book with that, and you end the book with your second experience with grouse. Tell us a little bit about that, because I think it gives some background to how you approach things, which is with a lot of research and a lot of attention to detail.
Well, it's absolutely true that one of the things that kicked me off in this direction, writing this book, was happening to be in London during grouse season. Now, grouse is a game bird, and we don't see a whole lot of game meats in the United States. So I was really intrigued by the opportunity to taste something that I had never tasted before. So I went and had a grouse at lunch in August and was just knocked out by the flavor. In fact, I was having a conversation with two friends, and for a couple of minutes there, I just couldn't speak. I was so focused on what was going on in my mouth, which was it's a little hard to describe, but kind of the most intensely meaty flavor I've ever encountered, just almost overwhelmingly strong, and with a kind of edge to it that was maybe not quite so pleasant, a little bit on the funky side, that made me stop and think, is it really okay that I'm putting this in my mouth? So it really was an experience that convinced me that the sense of smell could be such a powerful influence on our brains that it could actually stop me in my tracks while I was experiencing it for the first time. So then I researched, I learned about how it is that grouse comes by that really strong flavor. It is a wild bird. It's shot on the wing. It's a very powerful flyer, so its muscles are very rich in the biochemistry that also generates flavor. Then a few years later, I was back in London again in August and thought, I'll have another grouse and be knocked out again. So I ordered the grouse. I sat down to eat it, and it was delicious, and it tasted the way I remembered it, but I wasn't knocked out because I'd had the experience. I kind of knew what to expect, and so I wasn't as surprised and flabbergasted as I was the first time around.
Intriguing observation. Now, Harold, there's a Los Angeles connection to all of this, too. Recently, the California restaurant critic for the New York Times, which you have written for previously, did a piece that she gives you really credit for influencing. It's a pictorial as well as an essay of her smells of Los Angeles. But you spent some time in Los Angeles, and you actually did quite an essay that I think is a good teaser for Nosedive on the flavor of smog that was in Lucky Peach. In our remaining moments, can you tell us a little bit about that? Because, as I say, I think it's a good tease for the book.
Well, yeah, so I went to Caltech as an undergraduate in Pasadena. I grew up in Chicago, so and my father told me, you know, you should take the train from Chicago to L.A. To get an idea of how big this country is. So I did that, and I remember getting out of the train in Pasadena and being hit by this smell that I'd never smelled before, and it was the combination of smog, because this was the late 1960s and the air was pretty bad back then, but combined with all the exotic flowers and fruits that grow in Southern California that I'd never smelled before in the Chicago area. And that stuck with me. And I was able years later to discover that it was a scientist at Caltech who was a flavor scientist, studying the flavors of fruits and things like that, who actually was the one who cracked the nature of smog in Los Angeles in the post-war years and was able to help develop the knowledge base that allowed us to control it much better. So there was a direct connection between flavor chemistry and the flavor of Los Angeles air.
Harold, very profound. And our listeners can find this essay, The Flavor of Smog, that you did for Lucky Peach, on your website, which is curiouscook.com. A lot of other good information there. Ladies and gentlemen, food scientist and James Beard Award-winning author Harold McGee, 10 years in the making, Nosedive, A Field Guide to the World's Smells. I'm a third of the way through it. I'm going to read the whole book, and just absolutely fascinating. Harold, great catching up with you. Thanks for the time, and we look forward to future conversations.
Yes, me too, Andy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Harold. You are listening to the SoCal Restaurant Show. When we return, we're talking about beer. We're proudly presented by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats.